Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence with us today.
Yes,
we thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Thank
we thank you for Jesus.
Amen.
And all that he means to us.
Yes.
And Father, we pray that you, as we spend time around your word today, you will reveal more of Jesus to us.
Amen.
Reveal more of yourself. Reveal more of your Spirit. And let each and every one of us become closer and more intimate with you.
Yes.
And grow in the knowledge and the power of your word, and grow in the power of the Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Father, we pray, Lord, that our ears will be tuned only to hear what you're saying to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good.
He is.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
He is.
He's not changing, so you have to.
Amen.
Simple. The problem is we make it complicated. We seem to assist God to complicate things for some reason. Well, we need to just let go and let God.
Yeah. Amen.
Turn with me to Psalm 24, please. The earth is the devil's.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
I'm just checking whether you got the same translation of me, you know, just see what, you know. No, it's not. The earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
I'll say it again. The earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
And all it contains.
Yeah.
Praise God. Everything belongs to God.
Amen.
The world and those who dwell in it. Are you dwelling in the world? Okay. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord.
Amen.
And righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him.
Yeah. Amen.
Who seek thy face.
Yeah.
Even Jacob.
Yeah.
Praise God. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Yeah.
Who is the King of Glory? The Lord. Strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Amen.
Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts.
Amen.
He is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. You know, that can inspire. If you read that every day this week, you would be inspired. You'd go to another level.
Yes, you would. Yeah.
You'd go to another level as you began to let those words sink into your spirit.
Yeah.
You would be changed in your thinking.
You would.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that's our problem.
Yeah.
We're in this world, but the word says, but we're not of this world. We're living in two worlds today.
Yeah.
The world of the flesh and things around us that we see.
Yeah.
The world of doubt, fear and unbelief.
Mm.
The world of fear mongering.
Yeah.
The world of jealousy and backbiting.
Yeah.
And negative thoughts, negative conversations.
Yeah.
Constantly being bombarded by the media with these things. Constantly demanding that you spend and spend and spend for things that you have no need of.
Yeah.
But the advertising goes on. You must have this new Xbox. You must have this new TV. You must have this new telephone. Constantly driving at us. We're being sucked away from the things of God. We've been drawn away from the things of the kingdom. We've been drawn away from that which is important. And I know we're coming up to a time of Christmas when we give gifts. People go into debt because of Christmas. Foolishness, the foolishness of men. To go into debt. I was talking just a few days ago to somebody who has £25,000 on credit cards. Yeah. And he's, I don't know what they're paying, 20 odd, 29% over the year, something like that probably. I said, dear Lord, I mean, anybody with an ounce of sense would have said, oh, go and remortgage the house and get a 2.5, 3% loan and I'll clear my debts. Get rid of it. And then start targeting that money that you're saving, start using it to pay off that loan. Not sit there and think, oh, I've got some more money in my pocket, let's go and burn it. Come on, you know, church. People have got to realise these things. We're being bombarded constantly by the world. Yeah. But at the same time, we live in another world. We live in the realm of the Spirit. We live in the Spirit realm.
Yeah.
You see, when you got saved, you became a new person.
Yeah.
And God's... Now, there's you, the old you, with its old thinkings, its old ideas, its old habits, and then suddenly the new you appears and says, we've got to change these things.
Yeah.
And there's a battle going on.
Yeah, there is.
We know that.
Yeah.
You're not on your own.
No.
Every one of us is in a battle.
Yeah.
There's a battle going on.
Yeah.
There's a battle to destroy you. There's a battle to kill the new creation.
Yeah,
you are the new creation. The devil's out to destroy the work of God.
Yeah.
In every way.
Yeah.
And guess what? That means he's out to destroy you.
Yeah?
I've read the end of the book. We win.
Yeah.
He doesn't beat us. We win.
Yeah.
And that's so important. But we have a problem today. We are so busy seeing the natural things around us that we forget the things of the Spirit.
True. Yeah.
I'll guarantee your mind spends more time thinking about the things of the natural than you do about the things of the spiritual. Is that true? That which you focus on is what you become. That which you focus on is what you become. If you focus on Jesus, you become like Jesus. You see children and they look for idols and they copy their idols on, you know, these 10-minute superstars on TV. You know? X Factor for a year and then gone. You know? There's no X Factor.
No.
And children copy these idols. You see, children are looking for something good to copy.
Yeah.
Why don't you become that something good for them to copy?
Yeah.
Why don't you declare the works of God and the kingdom of God? Be their inspiration.
Yeah.
And not some drugged up, drunken, so-called pop idol.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Glory to Jesus. Turn to Genesis, please. I just want to show you a little bit more about the two worlds that we live in. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis 28 and verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones and placed it, and put one under his head, and lay down in that place. And he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Yeah. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord.
Amen.
And the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Wow.
Thank you,
there are two worlds trying to get your attention.
Yeah.
There are two worlds trying to get hold of you.
Yeah.
Which world are you going to let take the biggest grip?
Yeah.
Which world are you going to let take the biggest grip? Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. You know why? He had his eyes on earthly things. He'd been on the run for a while. You can read his life story. His life story is a bit of a mess at times and a challenge. And yet God's keeping with him.
Yeah.
And God keeps trying to redirect him and focus him onto this other dimension.
Yeah.
And God begins to bless him as he begins to focus on God. But even now, he's in a stress situation.
Yeah, yes.
He's on his way to meet his brother, who he upset. Who he thinks is probably ready to kill him.
Yeah.
Because he stole everything from him. Some people would say that's enough to kill for. Some people kill for a lot less.
Yeah.
And his mind is concentrating and focusing on the fact that I've got to meet my brother. What do I think? What do I say? How do I act? Etc. What's going to happen? And when he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And he dreams a dream of a ladder from the earth to heaven, and the Lord Jesus standing at the top, and angels of God ascending and descending. And he says, surely God is in this place.
Amen.
And I didn't know it. Well, let me tell you, it happens every day. No matter where you are, no matter where I am, when we start to move around, God is in that place. And we don't know it. And we have to start to realize that. Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you.
Amen.
So God is in this place.
Yeah.
Wherever you go, God is in that place. Verse 17, he said, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. Verse 19. And he called the name of the place Bethel.
Yeah.
However, previously the name of the city was Luz.
Yeah.
Bethel means house of Eli. Elohim.
Yeah.
The house of God.
Yeah.
The house of God. And God wants you and I to realize that there is something far, far more important going on today in your life, and the devil wants to destroy you.
Yeah, true.
Whether he does it by drink, drugs. He can destroy you through emotions.
Yeah.
He can destroy you through wrong relationships.
Yeah.
He can destroy you through getting into wrong conversations with people.
Yeah.
Listening to the wrong voice.
Yeah.
Listening to the wrong words. He can get you through the fact that you're in conversation with people and these people are speaking negatively. These people are speaking against the things of God. These people are pulling down the work of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
These people are being destructive. And guess what? It rubs off.
Yeah. That's right.
I know myself from past experiences. If you mix with the wrong people, you become like the wrong people.
Yeah.
If you mix with bitter people, you will become a bitter person.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you mix with people who are happy, you will become happy. If you mix with people who are joyous, you will become joyful because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. There's an old saying, the light draws like, birds of a feather flock together. Well, I don't want to go with the grumps. I don't want to ride out with the grumps. Glory to Jesus. I want to ride out with the people who are full of joy. I don't want to ride out with the people who are just purely orientated with the word. We must stand by the word. I want to move with people who are in the realm of the Spirit of God. Who were seeing signs, wonders and miracles. Those are the people that I want to ride out with. I don't want to ride out with the depressed. I've been depressed. I don't like it. It ain't good. It does not do you good mentally, physically, or emotionally.
Yeah.
It stinks.
It does.
It's trash.
It is.
And the doctor says, oh, take these pills and you'll be okay.
Right.
Try the toilet. They work well on the toilet.
Yeah, they will.
Absolutely. The doctor once gave me some pills. No, not them. There were some others. Long, long time ago. These help you relax and go to sleep. So I watched the clock go round and round and round and round and round. After 2 days of watching the clock go round and round and round with these pills, I thought, these pills are going to do me no good. I read the leaflet. I read the small print. So I decided the best place for these was down the toilet. So I gave them all to the toilet and flushed them. And then I began to focus and on God.
Amen.
Began to press into God. The toilet was high. It was happy. And I focused in on God. And as I focused in on God, then I caught a vision of God.
Yeah.
And I began to be happy and joyful. Because it's joy that turns us into a new being, moves us on into a new dimension. And it's when we start to get hold of God that things begin to change.
Amen.
When we, you see, God is spirit.
Yes.
He's not flesh and blood.
No.
We can't see him with our natural eyes. We can't see Jesus today with our natural eyes. But if God would open our spiritual eyes, we would catch a glimpse of Jesus. We would catch a glimpse of Jesus. I know that to be the truth. Because some years ago, and I've shared it with you before, but God gave me an open vision. And I saw the Lord Jesus walking into a massive tent meeting. And that night, a lady was healed in a wheelchair. The power of God went through that tent. There was a seat on the platform. Nobody sat in it all night. But Jesus.
Amen.
And I saw him sit there all night. And somebody stood up and gave a word and said, "The Lord is seated amongst you." And I thought, yeah, I know exactly where he is. He sat right behind you. And I know I've said it before, but you know there are times we need to hear it again, but that you will get to that point where you have such a desire to see Jesus.
Yeah.
You don't see him with these natural eyes because nobody else saw him. Nobody else said anything about it. But Jesus was there.
He was.
We need to see into the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to see into the realm, the spirit world.
Yeah.
That's our realm. We live in that realm.
That.
We don't just live in this realm of the flesh. Thank God. Over the years, when I've had back trouble and back pain, I could come to a meeting in pain, and the moment I get up to preach, all pain is gone. Do you know why? Because I move into His presence and into that realm of the Spirit, and that anointing comes on. And I'll tell you this, sometimes when I've had so much pain during the week and I know I'm out of pain, I'll preach till the calendar turns over. And thought, why does He go on so long? What is it? Number one, the anointing's on me. Number two, I'm not in pain and I ain't going to quit. Because I don't want to lose that anointing and find out the pain starts to come back. And there are times when I question, God, why haven't I been healed? But I just press on. Because if I continue to focus on why, I move into the realm of the flesh. So I have to move into the realm of the Spirit and say, well, there are times when I felt a little bit like Jacob when God touched him in his thigh and he limped for the rest of his life. I think, well, maybe God sometimes just says, well, I'm sorry, but you know, we need to just keep things, you and I need to keep in touch with one another. It's like, gee, thanks.
Thank God.
I really appreciate that. You know, I see, and you know, I mean, we've seen people healed stacks of times and we've seen miracles. And I say, excuse me, God, where's mine? You know, will somebody come along, please, and bring my miracle? But there are times when these things don't happen, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm not going to let it water down my faith.
Amen.
I'm not going to let the devil stop me in my tracks. I will press on. I will push through.
Amen.
And you know, if the only way for me to get out of pain is to stay in the anointing, then the best thing I better start doing is trying to live 24 hours a day in the anointing. Trying to live in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of the flesh. Because that's what God wants for us. Because that is the way that He's taking us. He's taking us totally, thank God, out of this physical body. Praise Him. I know you've got younger over the years. Hallelujah. But let me tell you this. You're going to get even younger. And then there is no aging process in the realm of the Spirit. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no pain. Wonderful. That's what God wants to move us into. That's where God is taking us. We're going to live in another world. The realm of the Spirit of God. You see, you're not just flesh and blood, you are spirit. And that spirit realm needs to move on. And we have to begin to cross over.
Yeah.
We have to know how to live in that other side. Glory to Jesus. Each and every one of us has to begin to live on the side of the Spirit. That spirit man that has been born within us, that's been created within us, we have to give it some life.
Amen.
We have to give it some strength.
Yes.
And it gets its strength by food. And its spiritual food is the Word of God.
Amen.
And so as you feed on the Word of God, you begin to quicken your spiritual lifestyle.
Yes.
You begin to quicken the Spirit of God that is within you. And the Spirit quickens your mortal bodies. And you get younger. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your wrinkles go away. When you become joyful, you stop frowning.
Yeah.
When the joy of the Lord is in you, you stop being a grump.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't know. Hey, if the cap fits, wear it. But if I were you, I should chuck it on the ground and jump up and down on it. Glory to Jesus. I wasn't looking at you when I said it. So I mean, hey, glory to Jesus. I just said if you know, I know you, and I'm only joking with you. If you live with grumps, you'll become a grump.
Yeah.
You haven't heard of a grumpy old man? Or a grumpy old woman, you know. Somebody's always moaning and groaning and complaining and whining and... Oh, and you think... Oh, hallelujah. You know, you just think, oh God, I wish they'd go away. I'd be glad when they've gone.
Yeah.
You know. Can we come and see you? Yeah, but I'm going away. So, but you can have the house, you know. Oh God, let me go.
Yeah. Because when you're on your own...
I like to be around people who've got some joy about them. Oh, who've got some passion for God.
And some sparkle.
And some sparkle, that's right. Mm-hmm. You sparkle and I'll sparkle with you. Glory to Jesus. You rejoice and I'll rejoice with you.
You know what? Teenagers are new wrinkles. If you see close
shots of them. Oh, God, teenagers. Ah, well, that's why there's much... You know, they have to put on all this makeup now. They put it on with a trowel. In fact, if you look at some of these teenagers now, they have no shape to the face because it's troweled on that thick. You know. It isn't. And you look at them and you think, dear God, you look rough, don't you? And you know, I mean, they're teenagers. And they're not even late teens. Golly. And you're thinking, oh, your skin can't breathe. There's that much troweled on. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against makeup for ladies, okay?
But not too much.
Yes, you got it. There's a way of doing things.
Yeah.
But as a finesse and a beauty about it. Yes. You know, I like to see a good looking woman. That's why I married one. She missed that one. She missed a compliment. She'll have to get the tape and listen to that one. Glory to Jesus. Ah. Edit it out. Ah. Check whether this tape is really mine. Praise his wonderful name. And as you read this scripture, it tells you here that there is a gulf, basically, set between heaven and earth. There's a gulf that you and I have to cross over spiritually. Do you remember? Some of you will, some of you won't. Some of you have seen it, some of you not seen it, I suppose. Years ago, we used to... There used to be a track going round and they used to say God on one side, man on the other, and then Jesus came in the shape of a cross to bridge the gulf so that man and God could meet. And you know, we have to, it was there right there and then, but we never explained and followed through on the power of the spiritual realm. Certainly we didn't in this country. Yeah, Jesus came. He came as the Son of God. He came as that spiritual being. And he became a man. But at the same time, he was also a spiritual being. Because he communicated with God. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. So what does that mean? He's seeing God. He's seeing God, his Father. He's only doing what he sees the Father doing. Now you've got to catch hold of that.
Yeah.
Jesus is very long sighted, obviously. No. His spiritual eyes have been opened. And he's seeing into the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
He's seeing right into the throne room of God. And he's on the earth. And he's a man. but he's also the Son of God. Wow. Catch a hold of that. When we become a new creation, you're not only a woman or a man of God, but you are also... Sorry, I'll do that again for those who are watching me. You are not only a woman and a man of the flesh realm, but you are a woman and a man of God in the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
There's a gap between them. There is a big difference between them. But what you have to realize now is you have to let the spiritual side, the spiritual man and woman, take the ascendancy.
Praise God.
Don't let the devil rob you.
Amen.
Don't let the devil and the things of the world make you blind.
Yeah.
You see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to blind you. One of the easy ways of blinding is to flash something in your eyes. Yeah. Ever had a bright light flashed in your eyes and it's like, whoa, can't see for me? He'll flash you with the things of the world that he can draw you into. He can get your attention with. To pull you down.
Yeah.
To stop you moving forward, because the moment that you can't see, you stop. But in the realm of the Spirit, we need to have our eyes opened. We need to see heaven. We need to see God. We need to see Jesus. And I don't mean on a cross.
No.
I mean we need to see a risen Lord. We have to get our spiritual eyes opened. We have to begin to tune our spiritual ears, that we might speak what God is saying.
Yeah.
That we might do what God is doing. So important. John chapter 1 and verse 51. This is when Jesus is introduced to Nathanael. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Yeah.
He's just reminding them of what Jacob saw.
Yeah.
At the beginning of their relationship. And he's saying to Nathanael, "I'm going to see that your spiritual eyes are opened."
Yeah.
And you will see what Jacob saw.
Amen.
But it won't be just on, you will not just see the angels descending on the earth. You will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of God.
Praise God.
Jesus. God has for you and for me angels charged around about us to protect us. Ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. Whether anybody leaves me any money or not, guess what? I've already got it all. Because God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. And I'm one of his children. So I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. So we possess all things. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You know? Oh, we possess all things. People in the natural are grabbing for things, aren't they? Constantly. Never got enough. No, not good enough. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Trying to keep up with the next door neighbours. You know, Go around the supermarket. Don't shop. Just go around and watch people. They're coming out with shopping trolleys. Sometimes two shopping trolleys for Christmas. Yeah. How are you thinking? Yeah. Where are you putting it? What are you going to do with it? It's only 2 days, you'd think. You know, that's right. It's only 2 days, you'd think, with what they're coming out. Shops are going to be shut for 2 years. You know, I've got to get all this stuff in. You know? Golly. Yeah, there must be sheep or something got an extra stomach. You know, they're going to keep it somewhere else. God, yeah, I mean, most of it probably gets thrown away. God wants you to move on. He don't want you racing after things. Not that, don't get me wrong, not that I'm God saying that God doesn't want you to have nice things. But that's not your goal. The goal is, Jesus said this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a key. There's a key for all of these things to be added unto you. And it's not seek ye. It's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, the kingdom of God is at hand. But we have to take his righteousness. We have to receive his righteousness. You can hear, well, we don't hear it here, but you hear it in some churches when people pray and they start praying, oh God, I'm so unworthy. And I just feel like standing up saying, well, come on, come out and get saved, and we can sort that out in the blink of an eyelid. Yeah? Because the moment that you step out of your unworthiness and accept Jesus as Lord, he makes you worthy. And you have the righteousness of God in your life.
Amen.
Lord, I am so unworthy, I am so unrighteous. Well, get saved. You see, they haven't read the Word. They haven't read what Jesus is saying. They're living in this earthly realm. They're living in a works program.
Yeah.
And yet there's this other realm. The realm of the Spirit.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
And you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things.
Yeah.
You've got to be righteous, honorable, trustworthy, doing the right things in the eyes of God, not the eyes of man.
Amen.
It's so easy to try and be a man pleaser. You can deceive men and women. You can pull the wool over their eyes, as we use the term. But you can't deceive God. Christians try and do it all the time. Oh, I'm so righteous. I do this and I do that. It's not about what you do. It's about this relationship, this one-to-one. Where, what realm are you living in? Are you living in the flesh realm? I've heard in the past where people say, oh, God's blessed me with this, God's blessed me with that. But do you know what they've done? They've dropped so many hints to so many understanding, caring Christians that suddenly somebody decides, oh, give them a few quid and shut them up. And they get it, and then they come around and say, oh, God's blessed me. No, he didn't. That was just a Christian that did it. God blesses you when you take your cares and everything that you've got and you give them to him.
Amen.
You do it in his realm, in the realm of the Spirit. And then when he meets the need, and that might be through a brother who knows nothing or a sister who knows nothing at all, then that's God. You see, I want to see miracles.
Amen.
Not handouts. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I want to see miracles, not handouts. When you get a miracle, oh, it goes further. You go further. And you realize that nobody knew about this but God. I've told you this story, but some of you have not heard this one. A little boy, his family were going on a missions trip. I think it was to Spain. And they needed money by the end of the week to pay for their airfares. This little boy needed £50 for his airfare. Now this is going back 20 odd years, 25 years ago. And this little boy went running into his mummy and daddy one evening and said, "Tomorrow my money's coming in the mail." Oh God. So suddenly now the flesh starts, the mind starts thinking, how are we going to do this for little Johnny? We don't want to, you know, we don't want him disappointed when the money doesn't arrive. This is a pastor, by the way. Bless him. Now he's in panic mode. What are we going to do? He doesn't have £50. He doesn't even have his own airfare yet. But now he's worried about little Johnny getting £50 for Johnny's airfare. Well, they didn't know what to do. The next morning arrives and little Johnny dashes down and there's the mail on the mat. He grabs the mail, flicks through the mail. There's one with his name on it.
Oh, man.
He goes running back into the bedroom to his mum and daddy. My cheque's come. He hadn't even opened it. They opened it up and in there was a cheque. £50. Now, who's that? Now, I said a cheque. It might have been cash. I just can't remember. All right. But the money was there. Okay. But this little boy said, "Tomorrow, the cheque's in the mail. The money's coming for my airfare." He moved from the realm of the flesh into the realm of the spirit. And received and spoke it out.
Amen.
There is another dimension that you and I need to live in. Because whatever's happening in the flesh realm in the world today, God is above it. God is over it. And so as we move into the realm of the Spirit, we will see signs, wonders and miracles. For our own lives, for the lives of others, for the lives of people that we come into contact with. That's what it's all about. John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 13. Got John's Gospel chapter 3 and verse 13. "And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descends from heaven, even the Son of Man." Guess what? Nobody else has been there. But Jesus. He's been in the presence of God. He came back from the presence of God. He's been backwards and forwards in the presence of God constantly. When the earth was created and everything that is in it, Jesus was there. And you and I have to realize that there is this realm that Jesus wants us to move in. Turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. "For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you." This is Paul speaking to the Romans. And he's saying to them, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit." He's making a distinction. Right? It's not about God whom he serves in his flesh, but God who he serves in his spirit. Because you are a spirit being. You have to serve God in spirit and in truth. That's where we need to be moving to. We should not be serving out of the flesh realm.
Amen.
For the works of the flesh are resentment, bitterness, backbiting, jealousy, envy, greed, malice. Would you like to add to it? We can go on, can't we? That's the flesh. But the Spirit gives life. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, etc. And so we can move the list on. As we hear the Word of God and we will begin to have our eyes opened. Matthew chapter 3. We'll read from verse 16. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the realm of the Spirit which is speaking to the earth. This is the other world that is speaking to the created world and saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Which realm are you going to live in? Are you going to live in this earthly realm, which is made of dust, and this is the dust realm? Are you going to live in that realm? Or are you going to live in this realm? The realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
Choose. Rust and moth cause all these things to decay. We've tried everything with motor cars to stop them from rotting. In this country, it doesn't work. Oh, we've prolonged it. But there's always a battle going on. But in the realm of the Spirit, there's a peace of God. There's a power of God. And there's a purpose of God for you and for me.
Praise God.
The peace, the power, and the purpose. There's another message in that, you see, that you can take on and run with. Peace, the power, and the purpose. You know, whilst I was spending time in this Word, and an old song came to mind. I don't know if I can do it. I remember it from years ago. The last person I remember singing this was Jim Reeves. Who? Careful. No, it's not. Is it? All right. This world is not my own. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my own. I'm just a passing through. I'm not residing here. And I thank God for that. But I've got things to do along the way. And the thing I've got to do is to live in the realm of the Spirit and introduce people to the realm of the Spirit and not the realm of the flesh, because they've already know that realm, and it's failing, it's collapsing, it's crumbling, but the kingdom of heaven will stand forever.
Amen.
The realm of the Spirit will never cease. But the kingdom of men will be destroyed. But the kingdom of my God and the kingdom of my Lord, the kingdom of my Jesus, will never, ever end. Praise His name. So, take your choice. Which world are you going to spend the most of your time living in?
Spirit.
Let's live in the spirit realm. Let's change things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God.